Therefore, I have no need for spirituality. I'm actually doing perfectly fine. I have a car. I have two houses. I have a great career. I have a wonderful family. I go on two holidays every year. And I even have good health. What more could I ask for? Spirituality is only for those who need some hope and inspiration. It's for those people who are lacking something in their life. But for me, I'm doing great. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, explains there are different ways in which we can pursue happiness. In the 13th chapter, which is entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness, and God, the Supreme Person, these subjects are described. And Krishna basically explains that there are two approaches to the world. Number one, the soul tries to enjoy nature and takes God out of the picture. The second way, the soul utilizes material nature in order to serve God. And what Krishna explains is according to the vision and the approach we take, whether it's number one or number two, then we will have a certain quality of happiness. If we opt for option number one, where the soul enjoys matter and takes God out of the picture, then Krishna explains what the nature of that type of happiness is. Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavanta konteya nate shuramate buddha. Happiness of this world, material pleasures, this is how Krishna explains that these pleasures won't actually satisfy our heart's yearning. Krishna explains that the first defect of happiness in this world, adyantavanta konteya, O Konteya, O Arjun, realize that this happiness that you're talking about in this world has a beginning and an end. This happiness is temporary and limited. It will satisfy you for some time, and then you will have to begin to look for something else, something different, some variety, because it won't stimulate you any longer. The first defect of happiness that people experience in this world is that it's a very, very temporary and limited type of happiness. Krishna explains that there's another defect of happiness in this world. Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukkha yonaya evate. Every type of happiness that you pursue within the materialistic sphere will, without question, also bring distress in your life. You may win the lottery, and that happiness may send you onto cloud nine, but then you'll experience so many problems as a result. You may get the car of your dreams and feel overwhelmed with pride and joy, but then every time you park it up, you may be in great fear that someone will scratch it. You may find the partner of your dreams, but you'll be constantly wondering whether they'll stay with you. Every type of happiness in this world is accompanied by some kind of distress. And therefore Krishna says, yes, you may think you're happy. You may think you're satisfied. You may think you're experiencing pleasure, and you're not wrong. However, that happiness and pleasure is of a lower quality. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, is inviting us, opening up the doors to a different type of happiness, a happiness which is not based on taking, but a happiness which is based on giving. A happiness which is not based on enjoying, but a happiness which is based on serving. And in this way, Krishna says in the 13th chapter of the Gita that yes, you may say you're already happy, but maybe you could be experiencing a much higher quality of happiness if you pursue happiness through service. Because the motto of the Bhagavad Gita is don't try to be happy, try to serve. Because if you serve and if you manage to develop a great level of selflessness in your service, then you will experience a happiness which nothing in this world can compare to. Sometimes we look at ourselves and wish we were different. We wish we were better. We wish we didn't have certain bad qualities. And sometimes people say, I'm a bad person. I have too many bad habits and bad qualities. Spirituality is not for me. It's for the pure. It's for the saintly. It's for those who are good-hearted. But me, I have too many bad habits, and for me, it won't be possible. In the 14th chapter of the Gita, Krishna introduces us to a wonderful explanation of the influences around us in the form of the three modes of material nature. Krishna explains that every single person, every single soul in this creation is pure. Unfortunately, every single soul in this material creation is also influenced by different modes of material nature. And in this way, we develop qualities, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In the fifth verse of this 14th chapter, Krishna says, Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhava nibadnanti mahabaho Dehe dehinam avyayam. Krishna says everyone in this material world is affected by different combinations of sattva, goodness, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. No one is a bad person. No one is bad at heart. However, we are influenced by different qualities, and therefore sometimes it appears as though we are bad people. Krishna explains that when we take up the process of devotional service, we can begin to transform our character. In fact, in the 14th chapter, he says, Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That when you engage in spiritual life, sagunan, you transcend, you go beyond all of your bad qualities, and you become established in your spiritual goodness. So there is great hope for each one of us. They say you can't change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the end. Sometimes we think the process of change is so slow, but let me share with you that giving up won't make it any quicker at all. And so in the 14th chapter, Krishna gives us the keys. He says, if you eat these kind of foods, if you surround yourself with these kind of environments, if you associate with these kinds of people, if you structure your day in this kind of way, then by embracing such spiritual lifestyle, you will actually begin to see your character transform. We each have an inclination. If you think of a floor, it may have an inclination like this, and whenever water drops down, it will then naturally go in one direction. Right now, we seem to have a very easy time developing bad habits, but a very hard time developing good habits. But as we change our inclination, then the tendency towards going towards good habits, the tendency towards good qualities, the tendency towards acting in godly and saintly ways will become very, very natural to us. However, it requires that we change our inclination. And therefore, in the 14th chapter, Krishna says, don't worry, you can't change where you started from, but you can accept where you are and change where you're going to end. And in that way, we see in the 14th chapter that Krishna says, there's no excuse, because yes, we are all infected with bad qualities to a greater or lesser extent, but the good news is we're all pure. And the even better news is that Krishna is giving us the knowledge to achieve that purity again. Sometimes people shy away from spirituality because they feel if I become too philosophical, if I become too reflective, if I become too otherworldly, then I'll lose my ambition, I'll lose my hunger for success, I'll lose my ability to achieve all the amazing potential things I could achieve in this world, and therefore I'm a little bit scared, I'm a little bit reserved about taking up spirituality because I also want to be successful. In the 15th chapter of the Gita, Krishna gives us an entire paradigm shift of what this world actually is. In the very first verse of the 15th chapter, Krishna says, Urdvamula madhashakam ashvatam prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda savedavit. Krishna says, I'll tell you what this world that we're living in right now is. I'll tell you by giving you an analogy. If you imagine there is a great banyan tree, and then you see that there is a river, and that banyan tree is reflected in the river, then the reflection is the material world, and the real banyan tree is the spiritual world. Yes, Krishna explains to us that this world is simply a reflection. This world, in one sense, is real, but in another sense, is just a temporary, transitory, dreamlike place. Krishna wants us to be successful. But Krishna wants us to be successful in the reality. He doesn't want us to be successful in the dream. At our funeral, will people remember us for the percentage we got on a test? Will people remember us for the position we were in a ranking? Will people remember us for the number of people that followed us on Facebook? Will people remember us for the price of our clothes? Maybe people will remember us for who we were. People will remember us for how we made other people feel. People will remember us for the change, the positive effect that we had in making the world a better place. Let's for one moment analyze what is success. Maybe we found our definitions of success upon lies. It's said that if enough people tell a lie for long enough, that lie becomes a truth. If that so-called truth is accepted by enough people, then it becomes a culture. And if that culture is transmitted from one generation of people to another, it becomes a tradition. And people then continue living their lives based around a tradition of what is success, which is actually founded upon lies. We may have so many definitions of success. Ask yourself, is success to have a really nice car? Because then you can look out of the window and see people who have really nice cars and ask yourself, are they happy? Is your definition of success to have an amazing career? Well, look out there and see all the people who have amazing careers and ask yourself, are they happy? Is your definition of success to have family, holidays, and so many other things? Do you think that in and of itself brings happiness? There must be an added element of spirituality, because that added element of spirituality takes us from dreamlike happiness, dreamlike success, to the reality of what is really success. So yes, spiritual people do lose their drive for material ambition. Spiritual people do lose their drive for material success, not because they're faint-hearted, but because they're firmly determined. Not because it's too hard, but because it's too insignificant. And not because we're unambitious, but actually because we're super ambitious. Krishna is inviting us to embrace spiritual success, and that kind of spiritual success is the real goal of life. And so let us think, as 2021 comes and we decide all of our resolutions, all of our goals, and all of the things by which we'll define whether 2021 is a successful year, and let's question whether those goals of success are founded upon real substantial knowledge and awareness. Because once we have the right measures of success, then we can fully embrace that endeavor for success and find true happiness and contentment within our hearts. In the world we're living in, there's so much fighting, there's so much conflict, there's so much friction, there's so much division. And sometimes people come to us and they say, no religion, no more religion, no more spirituality, because it causes more problems, it causes more aggravation, it causes more difficulty in the world. To be honest, one person said to me, the world, I think, would be a better place without spirituality. He looked at me and he said, you guys say rest in peace, but can't we also live in peace? I tried to explain to this person some of Krishna's amazing teachings from the 16th chapter of the Gita, because here Krishna explains where does divine and demoniac come from, and how do the divine and demoniac think. Here in this chapter, Krishna explains to Arjuna, asatyam apratistam te jagatahuranishwaram aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. Krishna says there are some people who say asatyam apratistam te, this world is unreal and it has no God in control. Appara aspara sambhutam, it comes randomly, kama hai to come, simply by the interactions of material nature, and there's no God in control. Krishna says that when one embraces such a philosophy of atheism, when one takes spirituality completely out of the equation, what's the next result? Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtat manolpa buddhaya prabhavantyugra karmana kshayaya jagato hita. When one takes spirituality out of the equation, when one literally becomes nashtatma alpa buddhaya, when one loses their intelligence and becomes lost to themselves, not understanding their spiritual identity and the spiritual identity of others around them, then what happens? Kshayaya jagato hita. in this universe, in this world, they create so much problems, so much terrible works, so many unbeneficial activities. So it's interesting that in the 16th chapter, Krishna actually explains that true religion, pure religion, religion practiced according to how it should be practiced, is actually the solution to all problems in the world. Ignorance plus money equals corruption. Ignorance plus power equals dictatorship. Ignorance plus freedom equals anarchy. And ignorance plus religion equals terrorism and fanaticism. In each of those equations, you may realize there is one common element. And the common element is ignorance. The problem is not power. The problem is ignorance. The problem is not freedom. The problem is the ignorant people who use freedom. The problem is not money, but the problem is the ignorance with which money is then used to exploit. And the problem is not religion, but the problem is the ignorant people behind so-called religion. And so, in the 16th chapter, what Krishna is saying is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, there may be some negative effects of religion because of religionists who are not actually following authentically. Does that mean we disregard the religion in its entirety? Actually, the world needs real religion. The world needs real spirituality. The world needs real people who are practicing a very high level of purity according to principles of life, which will actually bring unity and harmony in the world. And so if someone says, I don't want to practice the Bhagavad Gita and be part of spirituality and religion because it causes problems, we'll look back at them and say, actually, my dear friend, you'll find that authentic spiritual practitioners are the only hope for actually creating real unity and harmony in an otherwise disunited and disharmonious world. I like your teachings. I think this philosophy is incredible. I mean, the way you, Krishna has explained everything is faultless. But one thing I can find fault in is the people who practice the Bhagavad Gita, the people who practice your religion. I've seen too much hypocrisy in religion, too many lies, too many cheaters, too many charlatans. And therefore, I don't want to practice spiritual life because I don't want to be part of something in which there is hypocrisy, there is cheating, and there are lies. This is sometimes an excuse which has been presented before us, that people have seen too much hypocrisy in religion. In the 17th chapter, which is entitled Divisions of Faith, Krishna reveals to us that within anything, there are different people who do that thing in different ways. Krishna says to Arjuna, Trivida bhavati shraddha dehinam svasvabhavaja satviki rajasi chaiva tamasi chaiti tam shrunu. Krishna says, in anything that is done in this world, you will find those who are satviki in the mode of goodness, those who are rajasi in the mode of passion, and those who are tamasi in the mode of ignorance. And therefore, we should not be utopian in our vision. Even amongst those who practice spiritual life and practice religion, there are different gradations. That is the world that we're living in. But before we look at that, let me ask you a question. Are there not lies, hypocrisy, and cheating in every single aspect of life that we see around us? Now it's December and there are sales, of course, with social distancing in the shopping centers. And in a shop, you may see a sign, £1,000 reduced by 50% to £500. And you go into that shop and you purchase the item, you come out and you're thinking, I've just saved £500. But what you don't realize is that the shop has employed an ingenious technique to get you to spend £500. Cheating, cheating. Yes, shops are cheating, yet we still buy from them. Yes, politicians are lying, yet we still have to vote for one of them. Yes, in everything in life, the media is cheating, but we still read the newspaper. In everything in life, there will be some hypocrisy, lies, and cheating. Krishna says, even amongst religious practitioners, there are different gradations. Krishna says, for example, if one performs charity, there are three different types of charity, in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of ignorance. The act of charity may look the same externally, but according to mentality, they are different. Similarly, there are people who have faith, people who worship, people who engage in religion. They can be in sattva, rajas, or tamas according to what they worship, how they worship, and the motivation with which they worship. We should not look for a religion or anything in life where there is no hypocrisy because, my friends, it doesn't exist. But what we should look for is sincere, pure, spiritual practitioners who live with integrity. And from whatever small experience I have, I can assure you that amongst those who are practicing the Bhagavad Gita and following the Bhagavad Gita, you will find many individuals who are pure, many individuals who live with great integrity, and many individuals who are walking the talk, who follow and practice what they preach. And therefore, if you come with the excuse that I'm walking away from religion because there's hypocrisy, I will tell you, go back to the religion and find someone who's living with integrity and purity, because that is a much more progressive path in life. We have reached the 18th chapter. So many excuses have been given and so many excuses have been refuted. Yet there can still be one final excuse that one may come up with. And that excuse is that I don't want to be forced into spiritual life. I have to do this from my heart. I have to do it from my own volition. Sutapai, you've given many, many answers to many, many excuses, and it all makes sense on an intellectual level. But I have to now practice this Bhagavad Gita with my heart when the time is right, with my own volition. To this excuse, my friends, I have no answer, because Krishna says the same thing to Arjuna. After Krishna has presented all this incredible knowledge, then Krishna looks at Arjuna and says, Iti te jnanam akhyatam guyad guyataram maya vimrashe tadashe shena yatechasi tata kuru. Krishna looks at Arjuna and says, Iti te jnanam akhyatam. Arjuna, I've given you all this amazing knowledge. Guyad guyataram maya. This is knowledge which is so confidential that only a select few have heard it before. Vimrashedadasheshena. Now, Arjuna, I want you to think about it. I want you to reflect upon it. And I want you to deeply consider everything I've said. And then, what does Krishna, who's the supreme controller, say to Arjuna? Yatechasi tatha kuru. Now, Arjuna, you do what you want to do. And so that is how the Bhagavad Gita ends. We cannot force you. Neither Krishna will even force you. The choice is yours. 2021 is coming. What will you make of 2021? How will you grow your spirituality? What change will you make? Small minds discuss people. Average minds discuss events. But great minds discuss wisdom. So the final thoughts we can leave you with is, read the Gita every single day. Not only that, study the Gita, take a course, and in the association of other spiritual people, try to deeply understand its principles. Don't just read the Gita and study the Gita, but then live the Gita, start changing elements of your life so you bring this wisdom into reality. And then we can only hope and pray that you then go on to share the Gita with as many people as possible, because this really is the only hope for happiness in the world we live in today. So it's been a historic event here on Gita Jayanti Day. We have gone through 700 verses of the Gita and we've reflected upon these amazing, incredible teachings of Krishna. Let us not finish our study of the Gita here, but just take this as a fresh inspiration to continue living with the Gita. And in this way, offering our respects to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who lived such an amazing life, and who through his own example showed us there's no excuse for not taking up spiritual life. We offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada. We offer our homage to Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, who are our constant shelter and our directors. And in this way, we conclude our 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And thank you very, very much for being online with us. And we'll hand over to Vaishnav Sarvabhauma Prabhu for some final announcements as we close this very, very wonderful event.